always say my mental health and zoological background really did prepare me for the future of history, or at least the people in general.
I was, we had a pre-need insurance policy come through yesterday. I'm typically not the one that goes through and handles all the paperwork for filing, getting the claim, but I had to do it. And I'll tell you, I never want to do it again. And we have two people here that are experts at filing. This is Andy and Deanna from Express Funeral Funding. They do a whole lot of work in helping funeral homes get that taken care of. I'll let both of you talk about what you do, but it's something that's a huge pain in the neck for most of us funeral directors, if you've ever known it. I think we've even done some videos about it on our social media about, like, this is just the worst thing, like top 10 worst things that's on it. So tell us a little bit about Express Funeral Funding for you both, Andy and Deanna, and how'd you get involved in the first place too?
Sure. Well, thank you, first of all, Michael, for having us on here.
Oh, yeah.
We've been going at this for over 20 years now, so it's a blur how fast the time flies. Yeah. But we've been filing insurance since technically, what is it, 2003?
2002.
I joined the company in 2012, end of 2012. And then Deanna joined, 17?
Yeah, beginning of 2017.
So we started, when I joined the company, we had a little over 300 customers, and now we work in all 50 states, Puerto Rico, Canada, and cover about just under 3,000 funeral homes around the country. And essentially what we do is we make funeral homes more profitable by taking the burden of dealing with life insurance off of their shoulders. Mm-hmm. The traditional method was a family would bring you a policy, and then the funeral home would fill out all the paperwork, send that to the insurance company, and then wait to get paid back. And with us, there's a couple of benefits. Is one, it doesn't have to cost you anything, but two, you fill out one sheet of paper, you send it to us, we verify the policy, and then get you paid up front. So you're not waiting for your money. It doesn't have to cost you anything by passing the fee to the policy, which is pretty nominal. It's less than if the family swipes a credit card and pays the interest on a credit card.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of families pay using credit cards. You don't have to do the claim forms, any of the documents with the policy. We take care of all that for the funeral home and for the family, which is, it's a burden.
Right.
Follow up with the insurance company after they lose a loved one. They don't want to deal with filing a life insurance claim. So it's kind of a win-win on all aspects, but
it is. Yeah. And I think, one of the big things that you touch on there is just from a cash flow perspective for a funeral home, like you sometimes are waiting on these policies for so long, and it's, what if you're having a slow month and you really need that or something like that? That's such a big advantage to have, let alone put aside all the effort that you have to put in when there's a million other things we have to be doing. It's funny, as I'm a funeral director myself, and I just know how many hats that we have to wear, and they're just way too many. And if there's ever a way where we can delegate one of our tasks that maybe we're not the best at, or maybe it occupies too much of our time, whatever that might be, I highly encourage you to do that, because your time is so valuable and it can be better spent serving families and doing the things that you do best. And it seems like this is one of those things that would really do that for a funeral home.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, your funeral homes, you're probably already outsourcing for website or accounting services, probably marketing services. And while funding
should be.
Yeah. Well, funding's been around for, you know, over 50 years. I mean, in the textile industries and other industries, it's super common. In the funeral space, it just hasn't been super common until recently, when insurance companies, you know, things have gotten a lot more difficult. You talk about back in the day where, you know, it used to be easy. You'd file with your local life insurance. You probably get the check right there. You knew the guy. Now things are a lot different. There's a lot more intricacies involved. There's a lot more claim paperwork. There's a lot more to the verification process.
Sure.
You used to know the local agent. I mean, back in the day, you knew Bob. And Bob's at State Farm. He's going to drive a check down here. And now it's, you know, you're calling overseas. You're calling the Philippines. there's a process, there's documents, and then you got to follow up with all the death certificate, funeral bill, whatever else that the claim requires. And it's a burden. I mean, it's a pain in the butt. It's the last thing funeral directors want to be doing. And yep. That's why funding companies have become so popular. We have about 20 competitors in the space. And when I started, we probably had 7 competitors. So it's just, it's a big, big market for funeral homes, and it's such a burden. I mean, we'll walk into, it's not uncommon for us to walk into a funeral home and see hundreds of thousands of dollars on their accounts receivable.
Right.
And, you know, Deanna worked for a casket company, so she could see, you know, funeral homes not being able to take advantage of a summer discount on buying because they're waiting for their money. It's
You know, when you're waiting for your money, it's costing you, you know, monetarily, but then you're also missing out on a lot of other opportunities. So
yes.
Like mentioned there, you know, when I worked for the casket company, if you paid within your 30-day terms, you'd get, you know, 15% off your casket bill. Well, we had funeral homes. I saw how many couldn't pay within those 30-day terms. And you're thinking, well, you don't hold a service without, you know, receiving payment. Well, then I learned many do.
That is not the case.
on both ways, right? Whether they have life insurance or not. And if, you know, the family, yeah, it is a huge issue. And when the families are paying using life insurance, I've seen it deter funeral homes from actually accepting that as a form of payment. And they even miss out on those opportunities.
Wow.
Yeah. One of our biggest sales reps is when a funeral home gets burned just one time.
Yep.
And, you know, they'll call and you guys will make the call. You'll verify the coverage and they'll say, yep, it's good policy. It's going to cover the $9,000 funeral service. And then you find out a month later, oh, there was a loan. It's actually worth $2,000. Or no, it lapsed. They stopped paying premiums. This policy is worth nothing. And then, you know, the funeral home is then at the crossroads. I got to go call my family a month after the service happened and say, hey, we're short $9,000 because the policy's not good that we verified with you in the office. And it's so funny because we offer non-recourse. So anything we fund, we never ask a penny back. If it goes south, we eat it. We eat the cost.
Wow.
And then, so the flip side of that is the funeral home, when you make that call, you don't just lose one family member. Now you've called a month later, the policy wasn't good. And how do you think that spreads? It spreads between their aunts, uncles, sisters, cousins, funeral home, verified. So you lose out on, you know, additional call volume, and it's really a ripple and domino effect. But we see a lot of that. We see a lot of funeral homes sign up and say, hey, I'm done. I'm not sitting on hold. I'm not dealing with this anymore. Can you guys help us out? And it's worked out pretty good for both parties involved.
Yeah, no doubt. And just that time that you're sitting there on the phone, it is just ridiculous. And how do you know who to trust a family wise? Like you take them for their word that this policy is good, and you do your due diligence and you make a call, but that happens all the time. And how could you possibly go back to them, even though maybe they were aware, maybe they weren't even aware. Maybe it was their grandmother. Yeah, the policy is good. Like they told them that 2 years ago, they said, oh, she's got a policy. You don't know, like the family might not even know. So it's a very tricky, touchy situation if you get burned. And coming from, you know, I own a funeral home with my family, and I know how hard it is for those accounts receivable, like to collect that money. You never want to do it because it's so like they're going through a hard time, and you almost feel bad, even though you're providing such a great service, you almost feel bad charging. And it's like money situation and money talk in funeral service is so hard. And then that just makes it even harder if you have something like that. It's really tough. Why do you think, this is going back a little bit to what you were talking about at the beginning, that why do you think funeral homes, some of them are still behind and still are doing this old school way, which we do. So I want to know I know what my answer is, but I'd like to know like what your opinion is on it in that respect.
I think it's a mixed bag. I think there's a mixed bag of reasons. I think one, maybe just lack of education or knowledge. One of how filing life insurance affects the business. You know, we could go through a whole presentation on how it affects your business.
Yeah.
But then also, you know, we always hear this in funeral space, to change is hard. So, you know, you're talking, it's hard. I get it. You know, it is hard. So I think that's a benefactor. I think some staff also, you know, they say, well, we've got a guy that does that. That's their sole job here. You know, we don't want them to lose their job. And our response to that is, we don't want you to either. Yeah. We are all about reallocating resources to where it makes sense for the business. Keep that person. You know, you talked earlier, you wear 100 hats as a funeral director. You're an event planner. You're talking about finances. You're everything in between, embalming, you know.
Sure.
To have an administrative staff, you know, if all they're doing is sitting on hold all day, because on average, they're going to be making 2 to 6 calls per insurance claim. And if you've ever called an insurance company, you know, you're going to sit on hold for probably 45 minutes before you get a hold of somebody.
Yeah. Yep.
So challenges like that.
A lot of funeral homes still don't know what it is exactly. And they have maybe a misconception of how it works. They think, all right, I got to eat this fee. And most of our customers, over 90%, pass the fee to the policy where it doesn't cost them a penny to use.
Yeah.
Funeral homes think that. And then I think there's a misconception as far as just how many funeral homes use a funding company nationwide. I could tell you all of the corporate consolidators that I see. And when I say consolidators, 20 plus rooftops, I haven't seen a 20 plus location outfit that's not using a funding company. And they realize that it's time value of money. It's missed opportunity costs. I could buy another location if I'm not waiting for this money.
Right.
Things like that. And they realize it's a waste of their staff's time. And it's, you know, you're going from a multi-generational traditional model where, you know, grandfather filed the claims this way and it's passed down. Well, the insurance companies have changed. And that's really when funding kind of took off was, this is crazy. I'm waiting for $250,000 and I can't pay my staff or the mortgage building or the light bill or whatever it may be.
When funding companies really first came onto the space, the way that they would market to the industry was get your cash now, quick cash. Well, a lot of funeral directors, like, I don't, you know, they kind of turned them off. Like,
scammy,
I don't,
you know,
be known as having a cash flow, you know, cash flow problem.
Yeah.
So when we came into the space, we said, you know, it's not only a cash flow issue, but it's also administratively a burden and it's an administrative cost. It's costing the business.
Yeah.
So, you know, we kind of restructured and, you know, we were the first to in the space to actually start completing all of the claim forms for funeral homes and families. So there's still a lot of our competitors in the space who, even though they can get you that they can verify the policy and get you the funds, you're still going to be doing a lot of administrative
behind it.
I like the Flanner Buchanan model. You know, they didn't, you know, they took those resources and allocated them in more successful areas of the business. And the casket space, they got into the wedding planning and all these other niches. And, you know, it's just, you got somebody waiting on hold potentially for an hour. We call it career, which is Kemper United Insurance Company. They own a bunch of insurance companies, top 5 largest in the world. It's an hour hold right now if we call. I mean, I promise you, I'll give you the number if you want it here. But, I mean, it's an hour.
Let's do it for the rest of the pod.
Yeah. Let's just wait on hold.
It'll be some good captivating content.
I wouldn't wish that on anybody. So
No, there's no doubt. And it reminds me of there was this episode of The Office. I don't know. Have you ever watched The Office before?
I know exactly what you. I know where you're going.
So they have this sales pitch. I think it was like, was it Dwight and Jim? They go to this office to sell them on their paper, and they go and Dwight's on the phone and he calls this like big conglomerate paper company, and he leaves it on hold the whole time. And then they're going through this whole pitch, and then at the end, he's like, you're probably wondering or something who was on hold this whole time. This was one of the other firms. Want to hear ours? And then they call and they answer right away. But it's such like it's like really funny, like in the show, but that's real life though too. Like that's not a joke. Like it's crazy having to deal with that. I'm curious as to how that works for your company. Who's doing all these calls? How are these policies working? Like who is doing all this work and how does it actually come to be? Because it's pretty impressive that you're able to deal with all these different insurance companies and able to, I'm sure you have got it down to a system, but I'm curious how it works.
Yeah, it's some challenges. Everybody thinks it's a sexy business to get in. I mean, from the outside. And then then you get in the weeds and you're like, oh, this is a lot. It's very capital intensive. And we've been able to negotiate kind of directly with the insurance companies where we're not having to call them all the time. And we'll meet in the middle as far as data and things. So we can verify much more efficiently than your average, you know, admin staff or funeral director calling to verify proceeds. A lot of the insurance company put things in writing now too. So some of it's just data dumps that they'll send us the verifications and things of that nature. But we leave no stone unturned, and we have, you know, almost 100 people in this office. That's what they're doing. They're calling insurance companies, and it's just it's a machine.
It's a tough day. That is a tough day.
yeah. But you know, and I tell you, we get, you know, we geek out on this stuff, but there's benefits to the family too. And that's what we're really seeing a change since COVID. The number one question, you know, a family comes in and they have a $20,000 policy and they're using $7,000 out of that. We're seeing a lot of family members say, hey, when can I get the excess funds? And the answer is yes. So we see a lot of, we call it family pay. That's our service. And we can get the family excess money they need for flying their sister in from across the country so that she can go to the service. Some people want to be buried next to mom or dad, and they'll have a $100,000 policy, and they'll say, let me go ahead and lock in spaces for all of my family so that we're there. So they'll tap into those excess funds and lock in a traditional service and a traditional burial. And, you know, we go around the country all the time, and we hear rise of cremation. What can we do to combat that? Well, there's a perfect opportunity for funeral directors. It's why not let your families and educate your families and say, hey, you've got a $50,000 policy. If you want to prearrange and use some of that, we can do that. So your kids will never have to go through this situation. So
I love that. That's a very good idea and a good way to use it, because they can't just use that for anything that they want. Isn't that, or they get taxed on it like substantially, or what is the rules behind it as far as that works?
So no like rules like that. And I think just to maybe piggyback off what you said, just to bring a little more clarity, is let's say the family, they've got a $50,000 life insurance policy. Your services are going to be $10,000. So the family's got a remainder left of this policy. Traditionally, what would happen is, you know, we would fund what is needed for funeral services, and then the insurance company, you know, waits to get all the documentation. So if there's a pending death certificate that's going to take 6 months, the insurance company is going to hold the remaining proceeds unless they get that death certificate. So traditionally, the family is going to be waiting for the insurance company to cut a check. What we can offer is an additional financial service to advance those proceeds. So same thing, you need $10,000 for your services. We've got this remainder left over. Well, instead of waiting for insurance to cut that, we can actually advance any portion of that. And what we'll do is actually cut a check made out to the beneficiary for any amount that they want. So some will use it for pre-needing
their
services.
Electric bill, their water bill.
Right.
It's amazing how many families don't have access to bank accounts, and it takes, that's a process getting access and getting their name added. So they need to just pay the mortgage one more time, or they need a little help with that.
They want to fly somebody in from out of town for the funeral services, have access to cash. They know they've got a good policy. They've got money there, but they're not going to get it until insurance cuts it. And as a funeral home, you can't offer that service, but we can at Express. If you're utilizing us, you can. Is an additional financial service to your families to get that money at need.
It is a huge PR when you hand deliver a check to a family member at your office, and they're going through the worst time of their life, that you just eat that financial burden tremendously. And, you know, we say all things final expense, and it really, it could be anything that's helping them get through this most difficult time of their life. And, it's a cool thing. We've seen a big really pickup since COVID, and families wanting, you know, $1,000 costs them a little over $35. So, you know, to get $1,000 there next day for, you know, $37.50 is like a no brainer.
Right. Exactly. And it just relieves them of the additional stress, whatever the circumstance might be. It gives them that leeway and that time that they can have with their family and with themselves, like, to grieve. And that's a really, really nice extra benefit. And I was just thinking about what you were saying a little bit earlier. Like, there was not a grouping of funeral homes, like a large group, like a 20 or 10 funeral homes, that doesn't use something like this. I think, like, small funeral homes have to, like, say, hey, hello. Like, when I hear that stuff, it means, like, okay, if the big dogs are doing it, I should be doing it. That's the way I look at it as a small, medium, small funeral home owner. You got to be doing these things to make sure you're staying with the times. We've heard a million times over how slow the funeral industry is to change, but all you have to do is just emulate the best practices, and that's the way you can progress in to meet those standards. And then eventually, like, you're going to be better than all those other small funeral homes. And then that's just a little side tangent, I guess.
It's true. You know, they're very business forward on those, because, you know, cost of capital, they're looking at all these things. And it's expensive. It costs more money right now to borrow. So the consolidators have it down when it comes to funding. They're very forward with that. And I think the ones that have suffered are the family owned traditional firms that are still trying to collect their AR. They're trying to clear up their AR when all the bigger operating firms are using somebody to collect their AR for them, or tighten that up. But then the flip side, also to that is, we always hear that, oh, I can't charge the family a fee for filing this life insurance policy because I'll lose call volume. Well, I mean, I would challenge, look at the public financials of these companies that have been using funding companies for years, and look at their call volume over time. They've all went up. So,
right. There's always a million reasons to not do something. That's going to, it's the resistance to change. It drives me up a wall sometimes. So, you got to do what you have to do to progress and to get better.
It's a simple, the way you present it to the family and say, hey, we have a lot of overhead. I mean, you know, we have a lot of expenses running this. There's a lot of risk involved. We charge
that as well.
And we use an underwriter that charges a nominal fee, or we'll take a check or credit card today. It's that
simple. What do you want? Yeah, exactly. It's not an option then. And people are understanding, and it comes out of the policy. So it's not like maybe they are losing. What it doesn't even matter. It's like, that's what it's there for. To cover those final expenses.
And great point there. It is coming out of that policy, if it's available, which most of the time it is. So there's no out-of-pocket expenses for the family, and it's oftentimes money they didn't even know mom or dad had.
Yeah.
So they're happy to not have to do a million pieces of paperwork to get mom and dad's, or aunt, uncle, whoever's funeral service paid for. There's a lot of stress that happens when you lose a loved one, and to add a financial burden on top of that, and how are we going to pay for services? It shouldn't be one.
Yeah. What are some of the things that are on the form you have a standardized form, it seems like, that funeral homes have to fill out. What are some of the things that are on that, and what is the process like? Is it
super
boxing, or is it online, or what's going on?
We have an online system. Most of our funeral homes are transitioning to that. We've had hundreds and hundreds switch over the last couple of years. I think we're at about 50% go online, and then 50% are kind of old school.
I figure.
Fax it or email it to us. But pretty much everybody's moving to online. It's so simple. But Not much. I mean, it's who the funeral home is. It's who they think the policy's with, a little bit of info on the deceased and the beneficiary. And the beneficiary would sign one document and send it to us, either online or on fax or email. Once that's in, you're done. And we will verify all the coverage. Once we get the green light, we send the funding confirmation. And that lets you, the funeral home, know that those funds have been electronically transferred into your bank account, and then you're done. You don't have the claim forms, anything else. We do ask for a copy of the death certificate to be sent back to us.
Yeah.
And occasionally it's an original if it's like a weird insurance company, but that's the whole process. I mean, it's that simple. And, you know, we have funeral homes that'll text us and call us. And I mean, the communication's always there. Most of the time, you know, we always get this question. We can get a funeral home funded within that 24 to 48 hour window. And that is about 75 to 80% of the claims that come out the door. The slower ones are traditionally your group insurance companies that are administered through a third party. They're kind of a nightmare to deal with. And it takes a little bit longer, but we offer conference calls and things like that that can help expedite those situations. But generally speaking, all of our funeral homes are funded before the service even has taken place. So they've already got the money secured in their bank account, and then they're going forward with the service. And that's the most, you know, important thing for a funeral home operator is to secure payment, then go forward with it, or at least secure most of that payment. And that's kind of how it works, but it's pretty easy. I mean, the forms all look the same. You know, we've looked at our competitors, they've looked at ours, and it's just basically simple. Some of our competitors they do have recourse. So I, you know, encourage anybody that's interested in using a funding company to look and really understand the differences. You know, make sure they're a non-recourse, you know, right. Sure they do all the claim paperwork. There's a lot of other bells and whistles that we offer. We have texting, like you can get a text notice on your phone when the claim's been funded.
That's nice.
Things like that. There's dozens of stuff that we have that, you know, we don't, you know,
differentiates us.
Absolutely. What is the largest policy you've ever seen come across, like amount of money?
Largest policy. I mean, we've seen multi-million dollar policies come across. Okay. You know, they'll work usually like a Silicon Valley or something, and it'll be, you know, two times their salary or something. The largest claim we've ever funded was about just under $400,000. And it was a real unique circumstance. Yeah, it was crazy.
Buried the whole neighborhood or what happened?
Long story short is the family was within like a day of losing the family farm to auction to the bank. And the gentleman passed away, and he had a large policy, and they needed this money like wired straight to the bank to save the family farm.
Wow.
We were able to verify in 24 hours, and no other company I know can get something moved that quickly and verify the coverage and save this family's multi-generational estate. So it was
pretty cool.
It was cool. Yeah.
That.
You know, for something like that, we reduced our fee because, you know, we've got a conscience too.
We've got souls.
You know, we got Christmas cards and letters from the family for several years afterwards, which was pretty cool too. Because, you know, awesome. We're pretty hands off. We're kind of behind the scenes. Unless the funeral home wants us to engage with the family, we will not pursue them unless they say, hey, can you reach out to this family and work with them? So, but yeah, that's the biggest one I can think of. But,
that's crazy. So, you know, you were in casket sales before. How did you get into that? So you dove right. It seems like you've been in a couple of places in the funeral service. So tell us how that came to be.
Yeah. So very, very random. I grew up in Maryland, just outside of Baltimore in Ellicott City. And when I graduated college, my parents had actually moved to Oklahoma. So, you know, I didn't want to stay in Maryland and keep serving at the restaurant I was. So I moved to Oklahoma and I worked for a private practice psychiatrist. I was his marketing executive and then worked at the Oklahoma City Zoo as a marketing and PR gal there also. So, you know, I didn't, Oklahoma wasn't my favorite. The tornadoes were a lot. I loved my job there. I loved the people were great, but I really wanted to get back to Maryland. So basically every night I would just go on Indeed and look for any sales and marketing job. And the one for Thacker Caskets came across and it got me back to Maryland. And you know, I've stayed with them for almost 2 years and had amazing experiences with them. They let me go out into the field, go to conventions, national, state. And that's where I met Express, was at a convention in Atlantic City. It was the New Jersey State Show. Our booths were right next to each other. And, you know, one thing led to another and I landed here. Then I moved to Louisville, Kentucky, where I'm at now. And I always tell, you know, we'll do speaking engagements across the country, but I always say my mental health and zoological background really did prepare me for the future of industry, at least the people in general.
That's great. That's great.
Oop, that's a death call here. Hold on just a second. All right, I think the students got it. I'm sorry about that. You know, we've been seeing a lot more business come in ever since we started mortuary marketing. And I got to tell you, all the funeral homes we work with, they're saying the same thing. So what do? We run ads on Google and other similar sites that get directed at families that need a funeral home in your area. It then brings them to a page that we've designed for you that gets the family to call you to inquire for your services. It's really increased our volume big time. It's working for my funeral home, and I think most parlors could really benefit from its uses. I put a bunch of information in the podcast description. Go check it out. I'm always happy to help talk with you and answer any questions you might have. All right, let's get back to our morbid discussion.
How about you, Andy? How did you get, I know you've been there for quite some time now, so how'd you get started?
Less exciting than that. no, I grew up in Bardstown, about an hour south of where we're at in southern Indiana, kind of bourbon capital of the world, so to speak. And
now we're talking.
Yeah, no, it's fun. You got to come down and we'll do the tours. So we open invitation right there.
Love it.
I grew up, you know, Bardstown, it was a cool place, and moved back from Western Kentucky. I went to college there and then moved back to Louisville, and then worked for a company that does subrogation for health insurance and property and casualty insurance, basically recover money for big providers. And it was really corporate America, just a ton of people in the building. And
yeah,
just kind of not the culture I wanted to be around my whole life, and found this opportunity through my sister-in-law. She was working here and it was a young kind of a startup deal, yeah. A bunch of makeshift desk and random computers all shoved in one single room. And I was really looking to just be a part of something from the ground up. And that's how I got in the space. And it's been a good journey. Good ride.
So how do you acquire your funeral homes? Like all your clients, you have, you know, you said you have almost 3,000 funeral homes. What do you do to get so many on board? I mean, that's a substantial number.
Dee's really good at stalking people on Facebook.
we just become their friends. Like really, we are really, really fortunate. We have the opportunity to travel all over the country. Our sales team, they're able to travel all over. They've got 8 or 9 states, you know, in their region. And we just try to become friends.
Yeah, hit a lot of trade shows up. We're in all the publications. And really, we'll knock on doors and meet people through meetings and just read stuff. And honestly, try to leave no stone unturned as far as just spreading the gospel, so to speak. And so there's a lot of different ways that we just kind of get to know funeral homes, and we're really non-salesy. People meet on the road, and we just really talk about it, and the product kind of speaks for itself, and we know it's a good product because we've seen it work for years. So we just kind of share how it works, and then funeral homes will be like, all right, I'll try it out. And that's cool too because there's a trust factor. A lot of funeral homes, they're willing to try it because there's no contracts. They'll try us for a claim or two or a couple claims. We always encourage like a pending case that they're going to wait for 4, 5, 6 months before they get their money and try it on something like that. And then,
right.
then they kind of get a little taste and it just goes from there. And we get a lot of, why did we not do this 20 years ago? Which makes us feel really good. So it makes me feel good.
Absolutely. I think that's a great way. Like just, it speaks for itself. Like what we do works. It's easy. It helps you. Try it if you want. If you don't, you know, that's on you. Whatever you want to do, that's okay. I guess my last question would be, where do you envision the company going and both of your careers? Do you want to stick around for a while or what does that look like in both respects?
Well, I just put in my 2 weeks with
Buck. So we got to know
talk about how much you loved it.
Stay on for the interview after this.
I'm just kidding. No, I think what's been really cool since my time in Express here, you know, when I started, I was the 30th employee. We've got over 100 now. I think the growth of our company, just really the team that I work with has been amazing and it's helped us accomplish, you know, where we are today. So hopefully more growth. I hope that we can bring more value added services to our customers to make the process even easier, even simpler. But yeah, that's
mean,
and I hope to stay here. I really didn't put in my 2 weeks.
I know. I would just second that. And just growing with our customers too. We, you know, not always is it a great fit. I shouldn't say this probably, my boss probably yell at me, but we really care about the funeral homes we work with and we're friends with them outside of the space. And I like that a funeral home can leave us on the drop of a hat because we earn their business on every claim. So we see, you know, the good and bad and, you know, this business is an imperfect science. You're going to get a terrible claim. It's just inevitable. If any funding company says otherwise, they're lying to you. I mean, you're going to run into some situations. Most of the funding companies and our competitors are pretty good at what they do. But it's really like who does the best service and who do you get along with and who
everything
offers them, you know, the total package. Same with it goes to the families that trust you over maybe somebody else across town. It's just a trust factor. And I like having a friend on the other end where if something goes wrong, they're going to pick me up and say, Andy, what'd y'all do on this one? You know, my bad, we got you. So it's just, it's kind of fun. I joke, like all my Facebook is now funeral friends and family. We're nerds in the space, but
it's the way it goes.
I'm telling you. So, but it's fun. We like it. Hopefully there'll be 200 people out there before.
Yeah. Really cool that you got in, you know, so early and it's growing and it seems like a fun, good atmosphere to work in. That's really cool. And we want to thank you for taking the time to talk with us. It's really, really good things to know and how the inner workings of the process goes, because I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with different funding companies. So it's really, really entertaining and really insightful to get in there and pick it through to see how it works. So thank you both for taking the time to talk with us. And it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot. That's for sure.
Hey, thank you. Yeah. And much success for the podcast.
Yeah. For the pod. He's
pod.
Been calling it the whole time.
The
yeah.
Thank
you so much.
I need to know what that is.
What's thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it. Happy to come back anytime if you want us to chat. And
don't call it a podcast.
It's a pod.